Chapter 11. Lil was unusually quiet when we started out the next morning. She had celebrated with Garrett and his relatives all night, but she usually stayed up until dawn, so I knew she wasn't acting that way because she was extra tired. When Garrett offered to accompany us after hearing about our mission, she looked more upset than pleased. The two of them took turns flying above the trees to make sure we were headed in the right direction and to tell us how to get around obstacles such as bottomless pits and werewolf dens. The first time Lil left and came back, she landed on my shoulder and stayed there until it was her turn again. She sat with her wings covering her head, another sign that she wasn't happy. Garrett, on the other hand, laughed and joked when he wasn't flying, alternating between riding on Edric's shoulder and mine. I knew that he was aware of Lil's bad mood, however, because he kept trying to get her to talk to him and told funny stories to try to make her laugh. After a while, he gave up and sat in puzzled silence, glancing at her now and then. Garrett wasn't the only one who was worried. We'd been walking for a few hours when something occurred to me. "Edric," I said, "what if the Troll Queen guessed that we're in the forest? She could be surrounding it right now, waiting for us to come out." Edric snorted. "I doubt it. Haven't you seen how big this forest is? More likely they'd figure out where we were going and wait by the entrance." Is that supposed to make me feel better? Because it doesn't. "Don't worry," he said, patting Ferdy. "Between the two of us, we can take care of anything. I wish you'd have a little faith." "I would," I muttered under my breath, "if we weren't talking about trolls. I've seen what they can do." "Bradston looked good when we saw the truth in the mirror, didn't he? That boy can even give trolls a hard time," Edric said with a hint of pride in his voice. "He looked fine, although his skin seemed a little odd. Your mother said that he was sick. Did she ever tell you what was wrong with him?" I asked. Edric shrugged. "I assumed she meant that he had a cold. My mother makes a fuss over the smallest sniffle." "He didn't look like they hurt him or anything," I said.
"They better not," growled Edric. "He's my little brother, and if anyone is going to hurt him because he was stupid enough to fall into the hands of trolls, it's going to be me."
It hadn't taken long for Lil and Garrett to find the entrance to the trolls' caves, but then they were bats after all. As we neared the edge of the woods, it was Lil's turn to check our position, and she came back only a few minutes after leaving.
"There are trolls up ahead lurking in the underbrush. Wait here. I'll tell you when it's safe to go on."
Garrett waved his wings to stretch them.
"I'll do that, Lil."
"Don't bother," said Lil. "Even a bat like me can handle this."
"What was that supposed to mean?" he said, settling back on my shoulder as Lil flew away. "She's not acting like herself at all. I wish I knew what was bothering her."
"That's women for you," said Edric. "One little mistake and they're mad at you for days."
"What mistake? I don't even know what I did wrong," wailed Garrett. "She was fine at the party last night. My relatives are all crazy about her."
When Lil finally returned, we followed her through the trees to a patch of underbrush that had been trampled flat. The rotten egg smell of troll was so strong that we had to hold our noses before we reached it and long after we'd passed by.
"I think we would have known they were here," I said.
"Anything with a nose would know they were here," said Edric. "There's nothing subtle about trolls."
"The entrance is up ahead," said Lil. "There are two trolls playing a game with bones just inside. You can't see them until you go in."
"Sentries," said Edric. "Ferdy and I'll take care of them."
"Save your blade," said Garrett. "There's no need to let the trolls know you're here if they don't already. I'll distract them and..."
"We'll distract them, you mean?"
Lil said with a bite to her voice. Garrett glanced at her, then nodded.
"Lil and I will distract them and let you know when you can come in. Be ready. This won't take long.
While Edric and I hid among the boulders and loose rocks edging the entrance to the caves, Lil and Garrod flew toward the opening, flitting around each other in what I would have thought was a friendly way if I hadn't been able to hear them.
What other relatives haven't you told me about, Garrod?
Asked Lil.
Are your parents still alive? Or any brothers or sisters?
I was an only child, Lil. I told you that. And both my parents were killed in the vampire-werewolf wars. Why do you ask? Look, the trolls are behind that rock. The big hairy one has a club.
I'm not stupid or blind. I can see them, and they both have clubs, said Lil. I just wondered who else you hadn't told about me, because you were too embarrassed. Oh, watch out! The hairy one almost got you!
Garrod grunted, then said,
Embarrassed because of you? You can't possibly think that,
the vampire huffed, panting with exertion.
Take that, and that! Look out, Lil! That one's going for his club!
Garrod, watch out! Garrod! Don't worry, I'm coming! Squeeze my mate, will you, you rotten, scum-sucking, dirt-legging? Ha! How do you like that? Want another one? One good bite deserves another, and there! Good! Garrod, are you all right?
I'm fine. It takes more than a clout on the head and a ham-fisted squeeze to hurt me. Uh-oh, they're not giving up, Lil. It looks as if a bat attack isn't enough to get rid of these dimwits. Watch out, I'm going to...
Garrod! Why'd you do that?
Shrieked Lil.
Good day, gentlemen.
Garrod said in his man voice. Although I couldn't see him, I knew he'd changed from a bat into his human-looking self.
I've never tasted troll blood before, but I like it now that I have. I'll give you a choice. Which one of you wants to join us for all eternity, and which one wants to die this very minute?
Bellowed the two trolls, kicking up gravel as they ran past Edric and me. I giggled when I saw that they kept their hands covering their beefy necks as they ran into the forest, because I could hear Garrod saying,
I knew they couldn't tell one of us from the other. Thank you for biting that one, Lil. I couldn't bring myself to do it. Blood that foul would have curdled in my stomach and made me ill for days.
The funny thing is that I couldn't actually bite him. His skin was too thick, said Lil.
Then his head must be thick too, said Garrod, because he thought you had.
What happened to the trolls? Edric asked when I nudged him. I couldn't hear a thing. They thought that Lil and Garrod were vampires out for their blood, I said. Let's go before the trolls stop running and decide to come back. A bat once again, Garrod was waiting for us at the tunnel entrance. He must have heard what I'd told Edric, because he said,
They won't be back here anytime soon. Lil and I made a big impression.
I wish I'd seen it, said Edric.
Maybe next time, said Garrod. But only if Lil... Where did she go? She can't be mad at me again!
Turning on a wingtip, he flew into the cave after his wife.
He means she can't still be mad, doesn't he? Said Edric.
Now, what did you mean when you accused me of being embarrassed?
I heard Garrod say to Lil.
What am I supposed to think when you don't introduce me to anyone? I didn't even know you had any living relatives until last night. It must be hard to say, I'd like you to meet my wife. She's a real bat.
Don't be ridiculous, said Garrod. I love you. I'll announce it to the whole world if you want me to. World, this is my wife, Lil. She's a real bat. See? I wasn't embarrassed at all.
You wouldn't be, here inside a mountain where no one can hear you except me. And don't you dare tell me that my feelings are ridiculous. You have no right to...
Is everything all right? Edric asked, taking my hand in his. You look worried. Everything is fine, I said, giving his hand a squeeze. But I was wondering if Edric and I were going to argue like Lil and Garrod once we were married. Although we'd packed special torches to take into the caverns, we'd lost them, along with everything else, when we'd escaped the trolls at the river. Learning of this, Garrod had asked his relatives to make torches for us, something vampires rarely needed. We were happy enough to have them when we started out,
but they soon became a nuisance because they bled dark smoke that stank even more than the ever-present rotten egg smell of the caves and were sure to give us away. When we came to a deserted sentry post in the tunnel and found some of the trolls' torches, we were delighted to exchange them for ours.
At least these smell like the rest of the torches around here, Edric said as he lit them.
That's true, I said. But don't you think it's odd that no one is here? Two tunnels merge at this very spot. It seems like an important place for a sentry.
Maybe they're taking a dinner break, said Shelton, who was riding on my shoulder again. I know I would if I could.
And abandon their posts? A real soldier wouldn't do that, scoffed Edric.
These are trolls, I said. Who knows what they do? Still, I think it's odd.
Said
Edric, kneeling down to study the other objects the trolls had abandoned.
There you are,
sang out Lil as she and Garrett flew into sight.
There is another abandoned sentry post up ahead, said Garrett.
Lil flew closer, making her shadow loom large on the passage wall behind her.
What do you think it means?
I'm not sure, said Edric. It looks as if the trolls took off in a hurry, leaving nearly everything behind. He poked something with the toe of his boot, turning it over.
See, here's a club, and this was probably someone's meal.
A bloody haunch of some kind of animal lay in the dust, covered with soft, worm-like insects.
Keep your eyes open, said Garrett. There is something strange about this. It isn't normal for trolls to abandon food.
Maybe it's a trap, said Shelton. Crabs know all about traps.
Then why do so many get caught in them? Asked Edric.
Shelton waved his eye stalks in irritation.
I said we know about them. That doesn't mean we understand them.
This time, when Lil and Garrett flew ahead, they waited for us at the next abandoned sentry post. Edric found bone fragments like the ones the first trolls had been using to play a game, as well as a note written in some strange lettering.
I might be able to read that, said Garrett. You pick up all sorts of things when you live as long as I have. Let me see. Ah, yes. It says, take 2 blister beetles and call me in the morning.
It sounds like someone wasn't feeling well, I said.
Maybe, said Edric. I just wish I knew what was going on.
Lil and Garrett took off again, but we're back a few minutes later with news to share.
There's a troll up ahead, said Lil. He's lying on the ground, moaning.
We started to hurry. Ferdy and I can get him to tell us what's going on, Edric said, tapping his sword's hilt for emphasis.
Don't take Ferdy out unless it's absolutely necessary, I told Edric. You know how loud he is.
Edric looked annoyed. He can be quiet when he has to be.
I said. I've heard him hum. Just keep him in his scabbard if you can.
See, said Shelton. You do know where you're going, don't you? There could be miles of passages in here. Do you know which one we want?
Of course we do, Edric said, turning to me. We do, don't we?
I shook my head. Not exactly. All I know is that he's being held in a room near the Troll Queen's treasure chamber.
You mean we have to search this entire mountain?
Asked Lil. I felt defensive when I said, at least I picked the right mountain. This is where the trolls live, so he has to be around here somewhere.
We'll find him, said Edric. We just have to start thinking like trolls.
As long as you don't start acting like one,
muttered Shelton.
If anyone asked me, said Garrett, I'd say that we're heading in the right direction. Lil and I explored some of the side passages. Most of them look like no one has set foot in there for years. The passage we're in is the most traveled. I think that if we look for the more heavily guarded passageways, we're bound to find him.
You're so smart,
Lil told Garrett, gazing at him with love in her eyes. Apparently, their conversation had taken a different turn when we could no longer hear them.
Gugh,
Not you, too. It's bad enough when they're all mushy,
Shelton said, pointing at Edric and me.
I thought bats were smarter than that.
Edric grinned.
I guess not.
Shelton almost fell off my shoulder when I jabbed Edric in the side with my elbow. We found the sick troll lying in the entrance to a large cavern. He was alone, although there were enough weapons and food scattered around him for two or three trolls. He moaned when he saw us, then fell back and closed his eyes. After glancing at me, Edric approached the troll with his hand on Ferdy's hilt, but without pulling the sword from its scabbard. Keeping a cautious distance, he poked the troll with his foot, saying,
"Sit up and answer some questions."
The troll rolled his head from side to side and moaned.
"Go away," he mumbled. "Not one now. Eat later when feel better."
"I think he's sick," I said, going to stand beside Edric. "Look at his face." Blotchy and covered with deep purple spots, the troll did look terrible. He was sweating profusely, and his long dark hair was plastered to his head. Looking down from his perch on my shoulder, Shelton said,
"That's a troll. They looked scarier at night."
The troll opened his eyes again, only this time his gaze fell on Shelton.
"Oh, I'm seeing things,"
he moaned, and he covered his eyes with his hand. I'd never really noticed a troll's hands before. They were big and meaty, with thick nails at least 4 inches long that looked like formidable weapons.
"Let's go," said Edric. "We're not going to get anything out of him."
Although we kept to the most traveled passages, it was a while before we encountered any more trolls. We had passed through one cavern after another, all of them without sentries, when we came to an exceptionally large space where water covered most of the floor. Standing at its edge, it was impossible to tell how deep it was, but when we held up our torches, we could see sinuous shapes gliding along the bottom. Edric had warned everyone to be careful to avoid making noise that might echo, but Shelton was too excited at seeing so much water to keep quiet any longer.
"Would you look at that?"
he said, scrambling down from my shoulder to the ground.
"A crab could enjoy a place like this."
"Stay with us, Shelton," I said. My words bounced back, reminding me that I shouldn't have spoken. I was reaching to snatch the little crab from the water's edge when a voice croaked,
"Hold there!"
from the far side of the pool. Shelton skidded away from my grasp as a torch flared, revealing a shaggy-headed troll. The troll must have been unsteady on his feet, because the torch dipped and swayed.
"Hurry," Edric said, turning to Garrod. "Stop that troll before he can raise an alarm."
Garrod darted over the water, turning into the shape of a man when he reached the other side. There was a shout and a splash. Then the troll collapsed, and Garrod was beckoning to us. Lil had already joined him by then, so Edric and I hurried around the pool. "What did you do to him?" I asked Garrod. The troll lay sprawled on the ground, his arms thrown over his head.
"Nothing," said Garrod. "Look at his face."
I saw what he meant right away. The troll was sick, his face covered with purple spots, just like the other troll we'd seen. His eyes were closed and his breathing was labored. He wasn't going to be warning anyone of anything for a while.
"What fell in the water?" Edric asked, holding the torch out over the pool.
"He had a key in his hand and threw it when he saw me. I'm sorry I wasn't fast enough," Garrod said, shaking his head.
"A key to what?" I wondered aloud. Garrod took the torch from Edric and held it so that its light fell on the wall of the cavern where a metal-studded door blocked the passage.
"I don't think he wanted us to open this," said Garrod, "which means that it's probably the way we need to go."
Edric crossed to the door and tried to open it. Nothing happened, and he turned to face us, saying,
"We need that key. Did anyone see where it went in?"
When no one had, Garrett held the torch over the pool so we could look for it. Lil flew low over the water and was the first to spot the key resting on a yellow rock at the bottom. It was so far from the edge that someone was going to have to wade in to get it. Before Edric could step into the pool, however, I knelt down beside it and reached my hand in to see how deep it was. The moment my fingers broke the surface, the water began to churn, and the fin of some sort of monster rose above the foam. I lurched backward, sitting down hard.
"What is that?"
asked Lil, frantically flapping her wings to get away from the water. "Whatever it is, we can't go in," I told Edric. A round, scaly face surrounded by writhing tentacles rose above the water, turning its cat-like eyes on us. Its neck was long and slender like a snake, and as the water calmed, we could see the thickening of its body below it. Water bubbled at opposite sides of the pool. The monster wasn't alone.
"Clive," said the first monster, "look at this."
Another monster rose out of the water and swiveled its head to examine us. This monster didn't look anything like the first. It was all sharp angles and points, with a narrow, pointed head, pointy, fan-shaped ears that stuck out to the sides, and a sharp crest that started just above its eyes and zigzagged down its back.
"They're funny-looking trolls," said Clive.
A shapeless, jelly-like sack that was mostly transparent floated across the water, rising and falling as it gulped or expelled air. While its friends talked, it raised a cluster of eye stalks from one of its bulges and waved them in our direction.
"They're not the trolls," burbled the monster.
"What else they be, Edgar?"
said the first monster.
"Don't know," said Edgar. "Look tasty, though." "If not trolls, maybe can eat them," said Clive. "What do you think, Chertle? Fatlipia make us promise not eat trolls, but she not say about those things."
"Can eat them if not trolls," said Chertle, the first monster.
I took Edric aside and said, "No one is going in after that key. Do you think we can talk them into giving it to us?"
"Perhaps they'll do it if we give them something in return," Edric said, scratching his chin.
"That rude, talking secret-like," said Clive.
"Maybe our trolls," burbled Edgar. "Trolls always rude."
"What could we possibly have that they would want?" I asked Edric, trying to keep my voice soft enough that the monsters couldn't hear me.
"That's a good point," said Edric. "Could you use your magic here? I remember how good you were at taking care of the monsters Gracina put in the moat during her nasty days."
I shook my head. "We're in the Troll Queen's own mountain at her very doorstep. Using magic now would be like knocking on the door to announce that we're here. This is no place for magic. Nope, we're going to have to think of something else."
"We ask them," said Clive. "They know if trolls or not."
"Is there anything I can do to help?"
Lil asked, landing on my shoulder.
"I'll do whatever I can," said Garrett. "But I must warn you that I don't know how to swim."
"Then I'm the best swimmer here," said Edric. "If you three could distract them, maybe I could slip into the water and..."
"Get eaten?" I said, hating the idea. "I'd use magic before I'd let you do that."
"Hey, you! You trolls?" called Clive. "You tell us! We hungry! You look yummy!"
"Pretend you don't understand what they're saying," I whispered to my friends.
"We hear you," said Chertle. "Why trolls pretend can't understand?"
"Maybe proves them not trolls," said Clive.
"But can understand, so must be trolls," said Chertle.
It is too hard, moaned Edgar. Edgar not understand.
Hey, said Clive. What that? Something move at the bottom.
I not say anything, said Chertle. Maybe piece of Edgar. Edgar, you lose piece again. Pull self together. Chertle hate when Edgar let self go.
It not Edgar,
said Edgar, sounding as if his feelings had been hurt.
Edgar all here.
How you tell, said Clive. Clive not know where Edgar is until swim into Edgar. It disgusting.
Edgar not disgusting. Clive disgusting. Clive poke Edgar for fun. Laugh when Edgar leak. Clive mean. Edgar not like Clive.
Raising one of his jelly-like bulges out of the water, Edgar swatted Clive on his snout. Clive sputtered and coughed, then said,
Edgar, runny glob of snot. I not like Edgar either. See how Edgar like be poked.
His crest rose as Clive lunged for Edgar. The jelly-like monster gave a high-pitched shriek as he let all his air out at once, sinking to the bottom like a stone. Clive followed, appearing to shrink as he swam farther and farther down.
Must see this. Wait for Chertle,
shouted Chertle. He plunged into the water, his smooth back arching above the surface, then disappeared with a flick of his tail flukes.
Yoo-hoo! Over here. Is this what you were looking for?
It was Shelton, holding the key with both front claws. You got it, I said, reaching down to pick up the little crab.
Here, you take it,
he said, dropping it into my hand.
That thing is heavy.
When you ran off that way, I thought we'd lost you for good, I said.
Nah, I just wanted to wet my shell. But I don't like that water. Tastes funny. Too many minerals, I guess. So,
he said, his eye stalks perking up.
Anything interesting happen while I was gone?